And we see that didn't totally work. So now we move on in verse 17. I'm going to read from verse 17 all the way to 37. This is the biggest chunk of this. And this is the part that Sennacherib threatens Jerusalem and mocks Hezekiah through his field commander. So let's read all this. I may talk about it as I go, but let's keep this all totally in context. The king of Assyria sent his supreme commander, his chief officer, and his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. So here became the process of preparing to attack Jerusalem, the capital. They came up to Jerusalem and stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. I think Raymond's taught on this location sometimes, so it's kind of an important location. I won't get into it, but it's where I think Ahaz was given an offering. King Ahaz was given an offering and so forth back earlier. But this was a gathering place at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. They called for the king. And Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator. So here's the administrator. And then you have Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to them. So they sent his legion, or his representatives, out to meet the king of Assyria, or the field commander. The field commander said to them, "Tell Hezekiah," so this is the message they were to take back to Hezekiah. It's kind of lengthy, but I think it's important to read it, every word. "This is what the great king, the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have strategy and military strength, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look now, you are depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff, which pierces a man's hand and wounds him if he leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. And if you say to me, 'We are depending on the Lord, Yahweh, our God,' isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You must worship before this altar in Jerusalem.' Come now, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. How can you repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you are depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Furthermore, have I come to attack and destroy this place without word from the Lord? The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it." He's invoking the true God's name in the name of what he's doing. How deplorable. Verse 26. "Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah said to the field commander, 'Please speak to your servants in Aramaic. Since we understand it, don't speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people on the wall.' But the commander replied, 'Was it only to your master and you that my master sent me to say these things, and not to the men sitting on the wall, who, like you, will have to eat their own filth and drink their own urine?' Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, 'Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you from my hand. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says, "The Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria." Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says: make peace with me and come out to me. Then every one of you will eat from his own vine and fig tree, and drink water from his own cistern, until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Choose life and not death. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, the Lord Yahweh will deliver us. Has the God, little g, of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharim, Hena, and Ivah? Have any rescued Samaria from my hand? Who of all the gods of these countries has been able to save this land from me? How can the Lord Yahweh deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But the people, I just say, filled with pride. Verse 36, but the people remained silent and said nothing in reply, because the king had commanded, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went to Hezekiah, and with their clothes torn, kind of a sign of repentance, a sign of concern, and told him what the field commander had said. So they were to give up. They were to give in to the Assyrians who were coming against them in Jerusalem. And so that was the command. Go to Hezekiah and tell him. So now we move on, and we're going to see God's intervention. I'm going to read the first 7 verses of chapter 19. This section is titled Jerusalem's Deliverance Foretold. When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and the leading priest, all wearing sackcloth, a sign of humility, to the prophet Isaiah. Now here's where Isaiah comes on the scene, son of Amos. They told him, this is what Hezekiah says, this day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, is when children come to the point of birth and there is no strength to deliver them. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the field commander, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God, and that he will rebuke him for the words the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant that still survives. That's the answer. And so, sending a message to Isaiah. When King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, this is his word, tell your master, this is what the Lord Yahweh says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard. Those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Listen, I am going to put such a spirit in him that when he hears a certain report, he will return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword. Foretelling what is going to happen. When the field commander heard that the king of Assyria had left Lachish, he withdrew and found the king fighting against Libna. Now Sennacherib received a report that Tirhaka, the Cushite king of Egypt, was marching out to fight against him. You think that was just a coincidence? Or was that God directed? I propose the latter. So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah with this word. Say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let the God, little g, you depend on deceive you when he says, Jerusalem will not be handed over to the king of Assyria. Surely you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the countries. Again, bragging proudly, destroying them completely. And will you be delivered? Did the gods, little g, of the nations that were destroyed by my forefathers deliver them? The gods of Gozan, Haran, Rezpah, and the people of Eden, who were in Tel Assar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Seraphim, or of Hena, or Ivah? In other words, look at my resume. Look at what we've done. We've accomplished all this. You think you can stand up against the army of Assyria? Now I'm going to get time yet to... I'm going to cover the very important next full section, which is Hezekiah's powerful prayer. So what did Hezekiah do? He did exactly what the Lord would require. And so Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Yahweh. O Lord, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim. That's where God resided, between the cherubim, in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant. You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. That's the first thing that always needs to be proclaimed. Who is the true God? And who is the God over everything? Do we pray like that? I hope we do. I hope we put our full trust and dependence upon the God of the universe who created all things, and not fret and everything else, what everyone else is trying to do, even against us. Are even the churches in prayer on this? I have to confess, I'm probably not in as much prayer as I should be at this time. You know, I'll sit and listen to the news and I'll say, oh man, can it get any worse? What else can they do? Just continue to just poke God in the eye and all these things. Lord God, okay, over the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give him the glory. He's the one that created all these things. It was not evolution. It was not what's being taught our kids in school. It is God of the universe, the king of heaven and earth. Give ear, Hezekiah prays. O Lord, Yahweh, and hear, asking him to hear his prayer. Open your eyes. Well, God has his eyes open. It's just recognizing the fact that he is calling upon the true God to go into action. O Lord, Yahweh, and see, listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. And that's true. He was insulting the true God. It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. So accept what has happened. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by men's hands. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. And that is the critical thing in the whole Bible. Why does God do everything he did the way he did and waited the way he waited? Is that when people see the result of God's hands, they will proclaim him over all things, the God of the universe. And so are we doing that today? And I hope we can do it more, because we need to call upon the Lord in our day of trouble, and we need to confess who he is and proclaim it to the world, not be afraid of our family, friends, neighbors, whoever is that says, no, you got to cater to this, and you got to do this, and you got to follow the ways of the world. No, we don't. We need to follow the one true God. And how do you know what God requires? It's his word. And so I continue to encourage all of us to be in his word. Let the Holy Spirit feed you on a regular basis. So let me see. I got about 5 minutes. Let me at least start this next section. We'll see if we're... I title it verses 20 to 37. Isaiah prophesies Sennacherib's fall. Then Isaiah, here's one of the main prophets of God. And I would say if there's any book of the Old Testament you need to read, if you haven't read it, do it in preparation of what we have yet here to talk about. Because there's so much in the book of Isaiah that talks about what is yet to happen, even beyond our time, into the future, into the eternal kingdom. And so Isaiah was a very special prophet of God. His word probably tells us more about the future, even from our time, than perhaps any of the other books of the Old Testament. And we can say the book of Revelation is what we look for looking at our times and preparing us for what's yet to come. But Isaiah is very important. So here, then Isaiah the son of Amos sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word the Lord has spoken against him. The virgin daughter of Zion despises you and mocks you. The daughter of Jerusalem tosses her head as you flee. Who is it you have insulted and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride against the Holy One of Israel? By your messengers you have heaped insults on the Lord, and you have said, with my many chariots, I have ascended the heights of the mountains, the utmost heights of Lebanon. I have cut down its tallest cedars, the choicest of its pines. I have reached its remotest parts, the finest of its forests. I have dug wells in the foreign lands and drunk the water there. With the soles of my feet, I have dried up all the streams of Egypt. Have you not heard? Long ago I have ordained it. In the days of old I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass that you have turned fortified cities into piles of stone. Their people, drained of power, are dismayed and put to shame. They are like plants in the field, like tender green shoots, like grass sprouting on the roof, scorched before it grows up. But I know where you stay, and when you come and go, and how you rage against me, because you rage against me, and your insolence has reached my ears. I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will make you return by the way you came. This will be the sign for you, O Hezekiah. This year, you will eat what grows by itself, in the second year what springs from that. But in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Once more, a remnant of the house of Judah, always the remnant, will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter the city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. And here's the result. Praise God. That night, the angel of the Lord, Yahweh, went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. And then it gives a final result of Sennacherib. One day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, cut him down with the sword, killed him, in other words, and they escaped to the land of Arad. And Asher Shalom, his son, succeeded him as king. In one swift act, during the night, 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were done away with by God Almighty. That's what prayer can do. Now we'd say, oh, that can't happen here. I beg to differ. But we may not see it that dramatically, but we can see the power of the Lord playing out in our lives if we just pray. Now, we don't have a prophet of God like Isaiah, who had the relationship with God. He was in the throne room of heaven when he was called. Here am I, send me. And Isaiah is a mighty prophet and has given us a word of encouragement. And I think in our day, if everybody would just read the entirety of Scripture and see what God has in store, the remnant will be protected. And so, but we don't know, you know, who may go in the battle. That's not promised necessarily to any one of us, because this life isn't what it's all about. It's eternal life. It's where we end up for eternity that is what we're looking forward to and what is to come. So let's close in prayer, prepare ourselves for a time of worship, and we'll pick up next week with chapter 19.